We are in a battle. We are engaged in the greatest war, the greatest struggle in the history of mankind. I'm not speaking of the war in Syria, not speaking of the war in Iraq, not speaking of the great war on terrorism today. The war I'm speaking of is an ongoing war in which there's no relief, no R&R, no lulls in the battle, no ceasefires. And the enemy we face is so evil, so nefarious, that he makes people like Osama bin Laden look like Mickey Mouse. Welcome to spiritual warfare. The Christian life is described in the New Testament many times as a war, as a warring soldier. We're commanded to fight the good fight of faith. Person doesn't need to be a Christian very long before they realize that the Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. Amen. It's a battleground. When one accepts Christ, it doesn't automatically mean it's going to be easy. In fact, I think it gets more difficult. And you are in the army now. If you're a Christian, you're in the Lord's army. The Christian is always, always on the front lines of the battle. Now, the good news is that the ultimate victory is secure. I read the last chapters of the book of the Revelation, and we win. That's good. I'm glad. Christ's victory is our victory. The sobering news is this. The day-to-day victory is not automatic. Now, with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In this portion of Scripture, in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, he's talking about this warfare that we're in. Now, to understand this portion, you've got to get the context, right? And I want to give you the context of this in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, Paul talks about the wealth of the Christian, our wealth in Christ. He talks about how we have been the Father. God chose us before the foundations of the world. If you're saved, you're chosen. Before the foundations of the world to make us the objects of his love. And he sent Christ to be our Redeemer. And in him we have redemption. The forgiveness of our transgressions by his blood according to the riches of his grace. We've got redemption in Christ. He sent the Holy Spirit to deliver that message to us and to bring it home in our lives, to bring us to Christ. And he sealed us in Christ. That means if you are a true Christian, you can't lose your salvation. Amen. Praise God for that. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. When we deserved wrath, he gave us his mercy. When we deserved punishment, he gave us his grace and saved us. He then put us into this, this thing he called the church, a mystery, into the family of God. And if you're a Christian, you are a child of God, a child of the King. And we are rich in Christ. I'll tell you what, you don't know that your pastor's rich. I am. I have all those spiritual blessings, and so do you. We have wealth in Christ. That's chapters 1-3. Then starting in chapter 4, verse 1, through chapter 6, verse 9, he talks about our walk in Christ. Our wealth in Christ, but then our walk in Christ. Ephesians 4, 1, he says, now walk worthy of your calling in Christ Jesus. Walk. You know, we have this salvation. Live it. Live it out. Walk it out in this world. That's what we're to do. We're to walk in unity. We're to walk in purity. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in wisdom, he says. We're to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way we can live out this life is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk it out. Walk out your Christianity. Walk out your life in Christ. We're to allow the Spirit of God to fill our hearts, to empower us to walk the walk. Yes. And we're to walk that walk. You know where to walk the walk? In our homes. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. As Jesus loves you, you love her. You love your wife. Wives, you walk it out in the home. You submit to your husband in everything. As the church is to submit to Christ, you submit to your husband. Honor him. Respect him. Help him. Walk it out in our homes. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why, Pastor? Because it's right. It's the right thing to do. You obey your parents in the Lord. And parents, you bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes. Don't frustrate them. Don't frustrate them. You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Live it out in your home. Live it out where you work. You see, employees, you are to work a day's work for a day's pay. You are to work even when the boss isn't there. Not as a man pleaser. Because who's your boss? The Lord's your boss. So walk it out where you work. You spend a lot of time there. Walk out your Christianity. And by the way, if you're an employer, you treat your employees the right way. You take care of your employees. You treat them with respect. You know, the Christian worker, the Christian laborer should be the best laborer in the shop. Or in the office. And the Christian employers, people should, man, he's a Christian. I want to work for him. Because he treats people fairly. Because I'll tell you, one day, you're going to give an account to somebody for how you treat your employees. You see, the whole chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 9 is walk the walk. Our wealth in Christ. Our walk in Christ. But folks, when we understand our wealth in Christ, and when we said, just like Danny was saying, I'm determined, I'm going to live it out. I'm going to live it out. You know what you're going to have? Warfare. Let me tell you, you're going to have warfare. There's going to be a battle that goes on when you have that kind of commitment to Christ. Every one of us are in a battle, in a spiritual war. And that's just what Paul addresses in chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. You have your wealth in Christ, and your walk in Christ, And now he addresses our warfare in Christ. Let me read verses 10 through 13 this day. We're going to, these 2 weeks, Lord willing, today and next week, we're going to take a look at this warfare. But verses 10 through 13, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Lord, we humbly bow before you. And Father, I can just believe right now that there's probably some spiritual warfare going on right now, even in the pews. Lord, we would ask you, I would ask you, help us to be attentive to the Word of God today. Help us not to be distracted as this Word comes by any trick of the devil, any trick of the enemy. Help us today to be able to hear from you, God, and Lord, be better equipped to win this battle that we are in. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and our minds and speak to us, Lord, we pray. Jesus, it's in your name. Amen. 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 Well, look with me first of all this morning at the enemy. The enemy. And look, first of all, before we look at who he is, let's look at who he is not. You see verse 12? Look at verse 12. We wrestle or struggle not against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood. The enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemy is not your spouse. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your ex. That's not the enemy. Your enemy is not your parents. Your parents are not your enemies. Your parents, your enemies are not your teenage kids. I know sometimes it seems that way, but it's not. They're not. The enemy's not your employer, your boss. Sometimes it seems like that. That's not your enemy. It's not your coworker, that person you work with that drives you crazy. I see all those. Yeah, I know. That's not the enemy. The enemy is not your next door neighbor. The enemy is not the elders of Faith Bible Fellowship. Your enemy is not your pastor. I'm not your enemy. Your enemy, your enemies are not the politicians in Washington, D.C. They're not. Well, I don't care what side of the aisle, the left, well, sorry guys, or the right, doesn't matter. They're not your enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. There is a real enemy. Let me say this. That real enemy can use some of those people. He can. Yes, he can. But we've got to acknowledge that's not our enemy. We've got a real enemy. Who is he? Do you see what it says there? Verse 12. But against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's the armies that we fight. And their commander in chief is mentioned up in verse 11. Do you see him there? Who is it? The devil. The devil. The real enemies of the Christian are the devil and his demons. And folks, the devil is real. He is real. One of his greatest deceptions is to get people not to believe in him. According to one Barna survey, 75% of Americans reject the existence of Satan or the devil, indicating that he is just a symbol of evil. Now, I don't know if it's 75%, but there's a lot of people that don't believe in a personal devil. There's a lot of people. That's just what he wants. But the Bible is very clear. The Bible is clear that there exists a spiritual being called Satan or the devil. And the word devil used to refer to this being is used 34 times in the New Testament. The word Satan is used 54 times throughout the Bible, 19 times in the Old Testament, 35 times in the New Testament. He's also referred to by other names, the serpent, 2 Corinthians 11:3, the dragon, Revelation 12, the tempter, Matthew 4, the enemy, Matthew 13, the evil one, John 17, Apollyon, the destroyer, Revelation 9, Lucifer, Isaiah 14, the prince of this world, John 12, and a number of other names that he's referred to throughout the Bible. The Bible presents the devil as a real personal being who was created by God. This being rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven to earth, possibly taking one third of the angels, the host of heaven, with him in his rebellion. He is now the enemy of God, the one who opposes the work of God on earth. Warren Wiersbe notes, quote, "While Satan is not omniscient, omnipresent, or omnipotent, he has such a huge army of demonic forces at his control that he can operate in many places at one time. We are wrestling against an organized demonic conspiracy." From this verse, verse 12, we know this. They are numerous, they are powerful, they are organized, they are wicked, and they are clever. That's who we fight against. Now, I just want to note something before we go on. Paul wrote this to Ephesus, to the church of Ephesus. And Ephesus was a satanic stronghold. It was the center of false worship. At Ephesus, there was the temple of Artemis or Diana. Linda and I, when we were in Paris, went to the Louvre, and they had portions. They have actual portions of this temple of Artemis that they've excavated, and they have them there in the Louvre. When we were in Rome, we went to the Vatican and the Vatican Museum. They had actually the statues, some of the idols, statues of Artemis in that museum. And they worshiped false gods, idolatry, demonic activity. You can read about it. We won't today, but Acts 19, verses 11 through 20, talks about when Paul went to Ephesus, people started coming to Christ. And you know what they did? They started bringing their books of magic. And they were burning them. Their books of magic. And the books, they said, were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. They worship demons there. Ephesus was a satanic stronghold. But let me say something. Today, The world is a satanic stronghold. The world is a satanic stronghold. All the world, the Bible says, lies in the power of the evil one. We got a battle on our hands. Now, how does he work? How does the devil work? Look at verse 11. You see there in verse 11, it says at the end, the schemes of the devil, or the wiles of the devil. Living Bible translates this word strategies and tricks. The original word, from that original word there, we get our word methodologies. You know, Satan doesn't come up to us and say, "Hello, my name is Satan. I want to mess up your life. You know what? I would love nothing more than to destroy your marriage. I would love to get a hold of your kids and get them into drugs, get them addicted to alcohol, get them messed up. That's what I'd love to do. I'd love to ruin your testimony for Christ. You know what? Come with me and your life is going to be a mess for the rest of your life." If he did that, what would we do? Get thee gone, Satan. You know what? He uses tricks. He disguises himself as a what? Angel of light. He comes and he tricks. He has methodologies that he uses. He has well thought out plans to mess up your life and my life. And you know what? He doesn't fight fair. He doesn't fight fair. It reminded me of what the Texas politician said. He was commenting on another politician that lost the election. And they came to him and said, "Why did that politician lose the election?" And he said, "Because he didn't use the rules of knife fighting." Number one rule is there are no rules. And see, with the devil, there are no rules. He'll use anything to mess us up, to get a hold of us, to destroy us. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians, we are not ignorant of his schemes. But you know, the fact is, sometimes we are. Sometimes we don't recognize the enemy. Allow me to share just, and there's so many ways he works. Allow me to share two of his schemes. The first one comes from his name, Devil, which means slanderer. He slanders. He slanders. He accuses. He gossips. He criticizes. He attacks believers. The Bible says day and night he accuses us before God. He slanders. C.H. Spurgeon once preached a sermon entitled "How Saints May Help the Devil." And he said in that sermon, one way we play into his hand is when we start attacking Christians. When we gossip, criticize, and slander other believers, we are being used by Satan. Wow. When we gossip, you hear the hiss of the serpent? When we criticize, you hear the hiss of the serpent? When we slander other believers, you hear the hiss? We're being used of Satan. Do you do that? If you're doing it, stop it. Don't do that. Don't let Satan use you. If you don't have, my mother-in-law used to say, if you don't have something good to say about somebody, what? Don't say anything. That's good. That was good advice from my mother-in-law. That's one way he works. You know another way he works? One of his weapons is, I think greatest weapons, is discouragement and depression. One author writes that he thought that Satan's greatest tool is discouragement. If he can't get us with lust, if he can't trap us with anger, if he can't induce us to dishonesty, if he can't lure us into profanity, if he can't lead us to compromise, if all those things don't work, he still has the tool of discouragement. That often works against us when nothing else will. Do you ever feel that? That discouragement. I think we all do, don't we? We all do. I'll tell you, pastors, on Monday morning, thinking back, oh, I can't believe how terrible that sermon was. Oh. We all get discouraged. And I'll tell you what, Satan will just jump on that. And three areas where he's working today. Three areas he's working today. First of all, he is working to destroy homes. He is destroying marriages, Christian marriages. I'll tell you, we've got to be aware of this. He wants to drive a wedge between husbands and wives. He wants people to get into affairs. I mean, you can read online 12 reasons why an affair will help your marriage. I mean, there are articles like that. There are. That's satanic. He's there to drive a wedge between you and your mom and dad, kids. He doesn't want you to look up to them and to love them. Or between parents and their teenagers. He's out to destroy our homes. He's out to destroy our individual lives. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy our testimony for Christ. And I'll tell you what, he attacks the church. He wants to get in churches and cause division. He wants to get into churches and embarrass the church. Because you know what? We're his representatives here on earth. And if he can take down a church, I'll tell you what, it usually ends up on the front page of the Akron Beacon Journal. Yes. He's out there. Don't you see it? I see it. He is working overtime today. Now, what does this mean? I'll tell you, we're in a battle. We are in a battle. For we wrestle. Did you see that? Wrestle or struggle. That word, you know what that word means? Hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand combat. This emphasizes the personal and individual nature of spiritual warfare waged against each Christian in each local church. This struggle is real, and I'll tell you what, some of you have been feeling it. This last week, I'll bet if I talked to some of you, say, man, I felt the battle this week, Pastor. And if you didn't feel it last week, get ready for this week. Because we're on the front lines. It's real. This is not imaginary. We can't see him. But it's real. It's real. I received a letter from the district superintendent from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church back a couple years ago. And he wrote, quote, a young lady was recently rescued from deep immersion in the occult through a relationship with Christ. She shared this disturbing information. Quote, when I was involved with Satan, we used to pray and work for confusion among Christians. Praying against us. The first missionary that was sent out by the chapel, her name was Dottie Cedars. She was with SIM, Sudan Interior Missions. Spent many years in Africa ministering for the Lord. when Dottie would come home, she retired and she was down at the mission compound down in Sebring, Florida. But she would often come up here and visit, and she'd go back to the chapel. But she would come here to our church because she knew some people here at our church. And I talked to Dottie one day, and she said, "Pastor, I've got to tell you a story." She said, "Every time I travel by plane, I pray, and I really pray, God, put somebody beside me in the plane that needs Jesus." She said, "Pastor, I just flew on a plane. I got on the plane. I sat down. And in walks this guy carrying a big black book under his arms. And he comes over and, wouldn't you know, he sits down beside me. And I said to the Lord, 'Lord, I prayed for somebody that needs you, and you sent me a pastor.'" So she said, I leaned over to him and said, is that a Bible?" And the man said, "Sorta." She said, "Sorta? What do you mean, sorta?" He said, "It's a satanic Bible. And I'm a high priest in the church of Satan. When you pray for somebody to witness to, I'm going to tell you." And so he began to tell her. She told him he was a Christian and started witnessing. He said, "Wait a second." He said, "We in the church of Satan, we pray against you guys. We pray for the destruction of Christian homes. We pray for confusion and division in the churches. We pray against your pastors. We go down and get names of pastors, and we pray against them, and we pray for their families to fall apart. We pray against you guys." And Dottie said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what. We pray for our church, and we pray for our pastors, and we pray for the Christian families. We pray."
Amen.
And the guy said, "Yeah, but my God, Satan, is stronger than your God." She said, "Oh, no, he isn't. Our God's stronger than your Satan." She said, "Pastor, we need to pray. We need to be in prayer in the church because we are in a war."
Yes.
We're in a battle. Oh my. Look at verse 10, by the way. It says, "Finally." You know what that word can, how that can be translated? It can be translated "from now on." From now on, the spiritual battle we are engaged in exists from now on until the Lord comes back.
Amen.
We're in a battle. It's real. It's real. Can we have victory over such a mighty foe? Boy, if we're going to have victory, we need some strength. Amen? Number two on your outline, the energy. The energy. We have an enemy, but we need strength. We need energy. Where does the strength come from? Where does the energy come from to fight the battle? Well, that's part. But look at verse 10 and verse 11. Be strong in who? In the Lord. In the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God. In the strength to fight the battle and endure to the end comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. He will supply all the power we need to fight the daily fight and to win the daily battle with the devil. And sometimes we don't realize, but we should realize, that God has given us everything, the strength and the authority to resist the devil and to be victorious and have authority over and to defeat the Satan in our daily walk. We can walk in victory over Satan through the energy and power that comes from God. Put this verse down. 2 Corinthians 10:4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Our strength is from the Lord. He's given us strength to defeat the enemy on a day-to-day basis. I'll tell you, what happened? What happens if we try to fight the enemy in the flesh? Let the hymn writer answer that. Let the hymn writer. But still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His might and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. If we in our own strength confide, our striving will be losing. I'll tell you what, you try to fight the devil in your own strength, and you're dead. You're defeated. You're discouraged. You will go get in, I'll tell you, you'll be in despair. We can't fight him in our own. You know what will happen? You try to fight him in your own strength, you'll suffer battle fatigue. You'll have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You will be messed up spiritually if you try to fight him in your own strength. Well, how do we get his strength? How do we get the energy? Number one, listen to me. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Got to go back to Ephesians 5:18 for that one, right? Do not get drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you one thing I've been doing ever since we had our lessons on prayer. Every morning, I've asked God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember the verse? If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give you all good things and the Holy Spirit to him who asks? And I go to the Father and say, Father, there's your promise. And man, I am asking, fill me with your Spirit. Because I'm entering the battlefield. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your strength, Kathy, to keep my robes white. I can't do that in my own strength. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I'll tell you, he gives you, you see, the Spirit of God is given to us to help us to walk out our walk. The Spirit of God is given to us to help us witness. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. He gives us strength for the walk. He gives us strength for witness. And I'll tell you what, he gives us strength for warfare. Yes. To be able to war and win that battle. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill your life. We also receive that power through prayer. And Karen, they're reading the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God give us strength for the battle. As we spend time with the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You see, waiting is getting down on your knees and seeking Christ. Amen. Seeking him in the Word of God, reading the Bible every day. Why do we need to read God's Word every day? Because it gives us strength for the battle. Amen. We need God's Word. We need to hide it in our heart. That we might not sin against him. We need to hide it in our hearts so we have ammunition when the enemy shows up. We'll talk about that next week. But we get the power through prayer and reading the Word and spending time with God. And I'll tell you another way we get the energy. We get strength through fellowship and worship in the body of Christ. Folks, let me tell you this. We cannot fight this fight alone. We need each other. We need each other in the body of Christ. In spiritual warfare, there is no such thing as a one-man army. Not in spiritual warfare. You try to fight devil on your own, you're going to get slaughtered. Amen. We need each other. We need fellowship. We need to have relationships within the church. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be building up one another. And you know what? If you don't come to God's house, And if you're not meeting during the week with other Christians, you can't do that.
Right.
You can't encourage someone unless you're with them. Amen?
Amen.
Right. If you're A-W-O-L, I'll tell you what, there won't be strength there in your own life. But you know what? God wants to use you to strengthen others in the body.
Amen.
It's not enough to just say, I don't need church. Church needs you.
Amen.
We need each other.
Yes.
One way we get this strength is through making attendance in church a priority, making getting together with other Christians and encourage them a priority. Christian fellowship and worship. In worship, there's strength for the fight. That's where we get our energy. Yes, we have an enemy. But finally, be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
That's where we get our energy. And then lastly, number three on your outline, the equipment. The equipment. Final victory secure. Day-to-day victory not automatic. There's certain things we need to do. Number one, we need to put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. God has supplied us with body armor. We've got body armor. We're going to look at that next week, at our body armor. But we have to put it on.
Amen.
God doesn't put it on us. He gives it to us. Here it is. He tells us, put it on.
Yes.
Put it on. The word put on is a military term. It was the last step before they went into battle. It's like he's saying, make sure, clean your M16. Make sure you have your ammo, your clips. Put your flak jacket on. Get your helmet on. You're going to war. Put on the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. Do you see verses 11 and 13? Both of those say, put on the full armor of God. 13, therefore take up the full armor of God. It's not enough just to put a couple pieces on. You've got to put the full armor on, because partial armor, if you just put partial armor on, there's going to be a weakness. And guess where Satan's going to hit you? In your Achilles heel. In the place that's not covered. That's where he'll attack. And I'll tell you what, he knows your weakness. He knows your weakness. And that's where he's going to attack. So we've got to put on the full armor of God. Every piece of the armor that God has supplied. He's given us sufficient armor and weapons to overcome and defeat Satan on a daily basis. Put it on. Don't wait till he attacks.
Yeah.
Don't wait till, you know what? If you wait to put it on when he attacks you, I'll tell you what, it's too late.
Yes, it is.
It's too late. So the question comes, why don't we always put on the full armor of God? Why don't we do that? C.S. Lewis has an answer. He says, quote, Satan is not taken seriously, so no one bothers to put on the armor. Or he is taken too seriously and we feel whipped. Instead, he needs to be recognized as a true force, someone who was conquered when Christ died and rose again, and someone who is too strong for us. Therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God. See, we need to take him seriously. We need to take him seriously. And that's why I think God's having me preach these two messages, just to remind us, we're in a battle. We need that full armor on every day. Every day. How do you put it on? We'll see that next week more, but by faith and prayer, we put on the armor. And we'll see that as we study each piece next week, but how to put that on. But we do it through faith and prayer, asking God to clothe us with his armor. So first of all, we've got to put on the first full armor of God. Second of all, we need to resist the devil. Resist the devil, verse 13. Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Resist the devil. James 4, 7 and 8. Put that verse down. Good verses. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's interesting. You know, we can resist Satan and he'll flee. He'll flee from us. How do we resist him? Again, we'll see next week. But we resist the devil using the word of God, prayer, and faith. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in the faith. Resist the devil. Resist him. When a spirit-filled believer resists the devil through the power of Christ, using the word of God, the devil must flee. Praise God. Amen. Put on the full armor. Then resist the devil. Then stand firm. Stand firm. Verses 11, 13 and 14. Do you see it there? Verse 11, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm. Verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Verse 14, stand firm, therefore. Three times he says what? Stand firm. Stand firm. Don't turn. Don't run. Listen. When it comes to sins of the flesh, get out of there.
Amen.
Run. The Bible says flee the flesh. Flee immorality. Every other sin a man commits is outside the body. The immoral man sins against his own body. Flee the flesh. Flee, Paul told Timothy. Flee youthful lusts. You know, Joseph, when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and she came and she put the make on him, he didn't say, well, let me share with you the four spiritual laws. You know, law number one, what did he do?
Ran.
He got out of there. I'll tell you what, you having problems with that computer? Throw it away. Chop it up. Get rid of it. No, we can't live without a computer. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You having problems with television? Chop it up. Say, you're being radical, Pastor. No, I'm saying, if you're having problems with it, do what you need to do. Flee the flesh. You go past a certain place when you're driving home and you're tempted, drive 20 miles out of the way, not to pass that place. Whatever you need to do, flee the flesh. But when it comes to Satan, when he comes at you as a roaring lion, stand firm.
Yes.
Don't you run. We'll see that God has provided us armor for every part of our body except one. The back. You run from the devil, he'll shoot you right in the back. Stand firm. Stand firm against the devil. When you take up God's armor, you're ready to enter the battle. When you fight in God's strength, you will not be defeated. Satan is real. Satan is powerful. Satan is wicked. Satan is clever. Satan is defeated.
Yes.
Jesus Christ defeated him at the cross. He thought he defeated our Savior. And he bruised his heel. But Jesus at the cross crushed the head of the serpent.
Amen.
He dealt a death blow to Satan. And Satan is real. He's alive. He's on planet Earth. But the cross mortally wounded the enemy of our souls. Someday he is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Praise God. But between now and then, he fights on. Defeated, but not destroyed. Using every weapon in his arsenal to convince us he has power to overcome us. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We have victory in Christ. I just want to close with this, just this quote from Isaac Ambrose, who wrote in 1600 a work called The Christian Warrior. He wrote there, "Christians, be not afraid of Satan. He's only a creature of limited power. He is potent, but your captain is omnipotent." Lord, we just bow before you. And God, we feel that struggle. As we know our wealth and as we try to live out the Christian life, man, the battle goes on. But Lord, we are thankful that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Lord, I pray this week that we would all get up every day and ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that every day we would go out knowing that there's an enemy of our soul trying to trip us up, and that you would help us through the Spirit to make wise decisions. When temptation comes, to always take the way of escape. Lord, that when we're battling, Lord, not to get discouraged. Not to yield to him and throw in the towel. But Lord, that we would put on the full armor of God, that we would resist the devil, and that we would stand firm in our faith in Jesus. Lord, help us this week with the battle. Some people here are going through tremendous battles. I know. I know, Lord. But Lord, thanks be to God who gives us the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.